everybody. Welcome to Street Fight Radio. How y'all doing? Hopefully well. I hope you are moving right along in your pursuit of egalitarian society. Or maybe you're thinking about getting off your rear end and getting started on that task. Or you're just at work and really bored or working out and need something to listen to. We are here to help you along in your work week, to let you know that you're not all alone and that people all over this flat earth want to get rid of all the hierarchy. We are Street Fight Radio, the number one anarcho comedy radio show in any station across the nation. My name is Brett Payne. My co-host here is Brian Quimby. We've been doing it for 6 years on WCRS 92.7 24/7 here in Columbus, Ohio, soon to be Arawak City, Ohio, if the makers of history have anything to do with it. We are here because we were hoping that tumultuous times would lead to chiller times and a better world for working people across the world. So right now, our plan is to get everybody to listen to this show, hang out with each other, become friends, and then we're going to disrupt the fuck out of everything. We are here once a week, or I'm sorry, we're here two times a week on iTunes, Stitcher, all of the podcasting apps to make you laugh and to give you a little bit of relief. We also have now bonus shows that are happening on our Patreon page for only $1 a month, lowest price for second shows anywhere in town. You can get an extra episode of Street Fight. We just did an interview with Kitty Stryker, Rich, and Ape from the Struggalo Circus, the Wicked Clowns that are going to D.C. to take on those clowns. We did an in-depth interview about ICP. It's like an hour and 20 minutes. We had a lot of fun. They were great. Very informative, very focused, really fun stuff. Give them a follow, Kitty Stryker on Twitter, and RaiderLow510. That's L-O, like Juggalo, not L-O-W. RaiderLow510. Some people asked for his Instagram. That's where you can find Rich on Instagram. So please check that out. If you can't afford it, you can sign up for the Patreon. You'll get access to everything that we do. And as long as you aren't signed up by the end of the month, you won't be charged for it. Also, if you can't afford to pay for the show now, we'll gladly give you the RSS feed for free. Just DM us and or email us and let us know the situation.
We'll make you steal it. I already had to make somebody steal it yesterday.
What do you mean?
I'm not just giving it away.
Oh, they have to be sneaky?
They have to go to somebody else who will help them get it. So I referred them to somebody else who would help them steal it. I'm not just handing it out.
That's a good idea. You have to have a sponsor. Someone has to say you're cool enough to get it.
I don't care. I mean, really, it's just one of those things that's like, well, I'm not just going to give my stuff away for free. Like, I'm not just going to hand it out. So I'm trying to build connections out here. I'm making a movement. I'm trying to get people together.
Yeah, and ultimately, you know what it comes down to is that it takes an extra day out of our week. And as much as Brian and I want to do this like all the time, we're not making all the time money yet. And our wives that are still very much in wage slavery are not really excited about having another night for Street Fight, you know? That was the motivation to get us to keep doing these. So it's just $1 a month for the extra show. And if you don't have to get it, there's still plenty of Street Fight.
There's plenty. You get two shows a damn week. I mean, Jesus, how many do you need? Really? The third show is just so fun, though. I highly recommend it. If I was listening, I would want to hear that third show. It's only $1. And it's usually pretty fucking cool, man. This week we had Juggalos on there and talked to Kitty Stryker and Ape and Rich.
Yes.
About the Juggalo March. And yeah, okay. Sorry. Brett does the thing, and then I look at my computer and try to figure out what I'm going to talk about. So you said Arawak City?
Yes.
It's still not I'm not going to let that happen.
It's not going to happen?
Nope. We got history, it's something new. I don't know what, I liked Rip Town, but I heard that's Portland.
Oh.
But which just something new.
We have to come up with a new, yeah, right. It's a new future together. We have to come up with a new name together.
I also just don't think the indigenous people had Columbus roped off and called it Arawak City.
No, it's to honor the people that he fucking murdered.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
the people that like were the subject of his reign of tyranny.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. I want to name it something new, though. I want the people that are here now to get the... But although, like, that's an issue, too, because when we got to name a hockey team, it ended up being the Blue Jackets, and it's like, that's not good. Like, if I got... I don't feel like I had any say in that choice.
I'm not... I was not interested in that. I've never been interested in that history. I felt like I was forced to do that in school. I wanted nothing. I did not care a single bit about Civil War history.
I didn't have anything to do with the name the Buckeyes. I had nothing to do with... And I wouldn't have named... If I got to pick a name for a football team, it wouldn't have been a nut. It just... That's not the way I am. That's not the way I'm wired. You know?
Yeah, but I don't know... But... There is something to say about tradition, though. Things should be around for a long time. I mean, otherwise we should change the name every year. It would just be like...
That'd be cool, though.
We would vote on a new team name each year.
We talked about this on the way back up from Atlanta when we drove by Bald Knob Park or whatever. Or Big Bone Lick was the name of the park. And I'm like, you know, you can change that name. There's no reason that you have to keep the name Big Bone Lick as the name of your park.
Why shouldn't there be a Big Bone Lick?
It just means something. I'm sure it meant something back then. It was like, oh, you know, fucking, we like to lick the big bone out of the ham hock or something like that. But that's not what it means anymore. It means licking a dick. That's what Big Bone Lick means. That's what everybody that drives by it is like, oh, that's like licking a boner.
That's what's fun, though. There is no, like, that's childish fun. Okay. You want to get rid of all childish fun?
No, but I would change the name of Big Bone Lick if I had my druthers. I would give it a different name. You're allowed. It's fine. Tradition is not something that I care that much about. Like, I'm just not a... I'm very not a traditionalist.
See, but now I think of how wasteful it is to change the name of your team every year, though.
It's not like you have to throw stuff away when
yes,
you do.
Yes, you do. Motherfucker. You're going to go to a Buckeye. You're going to go to a Columbus Dirt Bikers game with a Buckeyes jersey on? That doesn't make any sense.
I don't think you don't even have to. We don't even put the names on the jerseys, dude. They're just red and gray. We're just the red and gray, and then we can call them whatever. You know?
I think we have to change the name of the Buckeyes. We have to lock in. It's the Buckeyes. That's not one that's open for dispute.
I'll
fight you that. This one will put brother against brother.
We're saying Buckeyes that you're allowed to change things when they're outdated. That's sure. what I'm trying to
Nuthead
tell you.
Nuthead Man is not, though. He's just as crazy as I am. He's just as nuts in the head as I am.
Okay.
Well, he's Buckeye Man.
We can leave that. I'm just saying we can change
the
name from Columbus.
The Blue Jackets, definitely. That's a dumb one.
Well, I'm saying we can change the name from Columbus. We can change all that shit. But it doesn't have to necessarily be Arawak City.
Crew is good.
Either.
Crew is good.
Sure, that's fine.
I would like to be a part of a crew.
I don't have any problem with the crew. It used to be guys in hard hats, too, which is like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that was nice.
That's like a workers sort of thing. I'm into that. Yeah, so, man, did you see in California they finally got rid of Columbus Day?
I heard they're replacing it with Indigenous Peoples Day.
I'm fine with that.
I am too, because the food's going to be good. There's going to be good food. I prefer any celebration like that.
I mean, Columbus was Italian. Oh, I guess he was Spanish.
Yeah, but they don't do anything for him. Like, no. On Columbus Day, they didn't come out and make, like, tapas and shit.
They give people a day off, though. I mean, like, really lucky people get a day off for
Columbus
Day.
Well, no, they bargain him against MLK Day so that all of the racist mechanic shop owners can make people work on MLK and get Columbus off.
Indigenous Peoples Day.
I like it.
I like it. I'm fine with that.
I'm down with that. We really do not do much in regards to that.
I'm glad they changed it. I am. Like, well, I mean, we think that Thanksgiving is that, but that's not what Thanksgiving is. I don't. Thanksgiving's really just the day before Black Friday now.
I mean, it's one day that you're forced to get together with your family, which, once again, tradition, which I am for in a lot of ways. And that one's fun, especially because it just revolves around food. It doesn't revolve necessarily around purely buying stuff.
You don't have to talk about the Indigenous people and the pilgrims sitting down and having a dinner together.
And it's easier to deal with your family when there's like 28 of you in a house versus like going out to like for a dinner and a movie with your aunt and uncle. Like how much of a fucking nightmare would that be? But you get to consolidate it, everybody in one room. They get all, it's like, that's all you get.
twice a year. There's Thanksgiving, and then you just got to do Christmas, and boom, it's all in winter time. It's done. I'm fine with it. I don't care. I'm fine with it. Okay. I'm fine with Columbus Day. I'm fine with days off. I know that's problematic to be like, I'm okay with it. I'm just okay because they give Columbus Day off. You can fucking call it anything else you want it to, really. Let's call it Indigenous Peoples Day here, too. Because they're fighting for it here, too. I agree with it. I want to change the name of Columbus to something cool.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea to buy into a childish narrative about a guy and then erect a statue to that and then name a city after it. It doesn't fucking fly with me. Like, I just can't jive with it. But we do have to have a reason to get off work. That is what I'm also thinking, though, is like, I'm not going to give up Columbus Day if that means I have to go to work.
Right, like, right, yeah.
Close the motherfucking banks, because when them banks are closed, people will chill out more.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. That's why I like how they handled it in California. They didn't go to the table and say, just cancel Columbus Day. They went to the table and said, no, we still want the day off, so we're going to give it a different name.
Yeah, and just tell everybody they can go eat fry bread and shit. Like, they should just make it into like a really big celebratory thing.
Yeah, I'm happy with it. I'm good.
I'm sure it's probably very problematic to say so, but I don't mind.
I'm happy with it. I'm good with it. I hope they do it here. I don't know that we're going to change the name of the city, though. I think that's set in stone. Yeah, it sucks. I know. I'm so used to saying it, though, and I didn't really. I always say it means something different now, but I'm also not somebody who it affected. You know what I mean? So maybe it does. Like, if you're an Indigenous person here, then maybe you have different feelings about it. For me, it's like,
your heritage was wiped out.
Yeah, I think Columbus just means like Jenny's ice cream and square pizza, basically.
I think they should do it. They should keep the name the same, but they should do it how people say it and just get rid of the O. Just put C apostrophe L-U-M-B-U-S.
Columbus.
Columbus.
I like it. All right.
Welcome to Columbus, Ohio.
Columbus. That's how we all say it anyway.
It is.
Columbus. Okay, so now we are petitioning to change the name of the city to Columbus, Ohio. And I'm going to name my next child Columbus.
My daughter started saying that, like, we're going to move to Columbus? I'm like, we all say it like that, don't we?
Yeah. Well, yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's the easiest way to say it, right?
Cuts out a lot of the pronunciation.
Man, tired? So I am. I'm going a little crazy this week. I don't know what's going on. I think it's allergies. Allergies like make me feel tired, so I just yawn a lot, and I get. I'm stoned as shit too. I mean, I've been over here. I cashed a PAX load and then put shatter in, and I've been hitting that too.
Yeah, I'm very elevated right now. I got some of the best weed I've had. I bought the weed, and then when I got home and smoked it, I was like, I need more.
That's good, because so do I. So Houston's in the news this week because of Hurricane Harvey, which happened while we were down there. I didn't even know a hurricane was coming while we were down in Atlanta, and then I heard the word hurricane, and I said, of course, when I go to the South, a hurricane's going to hit it. But it wasn't us. It was Houston, and oof, those pictures are rough to look at. I didn't know it was going to be that bad, and like, it's been this thing that's been escalating. It escalated the whole time it was happening. So many hurricanes have happened since Katrina and before Katrina. Really, hurricanes have just been happening my whole life. My dad was in a hurricane, and I kind of, when I hear them, I don't think of them as a huge deal, right? So Katrina caught me by surprise when it happened. Now this one has definitely caught me by surprise. Like, I have seen pictures of, like, I think it's Interstate 10 in Texas. There are waves. There are like white topped ripples in the water. Like, that city is gone. You know, Houston is gone right now.
Well, I think somebody said it best in like, so Katrina was called a 100-year storm. Sandy was called a 100-year storm. This has been called a 500-year storm, and that's all happened in the last 12 years.
Yeah, so it's really just a now storm.
And, yeah, I mean, these things are really tough because you don't want to say, like, I told you, you know, everybody's been talking about this. You make fun of Al Gore. You made fun of Obama for, you had John McCain go out there and make fun of Obama for telling people to check the air pressure in their tires.
That was funny, though, how mad they were about that. They were going out and buying, like, tire gauges. And like, hey, guys, hey, he wants you to check the pressure in your tires.
It affects your miles per gallon, dude.
They're yeah. so stupid. They're so fucking stupid, man.
Yeah, and this is another place where it's hard to deal with, like, everything that comes from these events. And you know, they do come out of nowhere. You never know when they're going to be like this. Like, the reports I read were like, it just rained and it rained and it rained, and it never stops raining for a day and a half. I mean, where is that water going to go? In a city like Houston, where, you know, everybody's pointing out now that they put concrete over all of, like, the natural grasses and, like, protections. They've filled in, like, every possible place where the water could drain. And they now have this catastrophe. And it's a lot of, you know, blind capitalism.
Developers.
And industrialization. Yeah. Development and all of that has really not been to the benefit of the people here.
It never is. There's always, there's probably a ton of, like, unused condos that they built in places and gotten rid of just any.
I get it, though. I mean, how do you make money out of protecting the natural wildlife that protects you from storms instead of putting out a new Harrah's casino or whatever it was, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and I think, like, the first thing that hit me and made me realize it was really big was that picture of the nursing home. Did you see that picture of the nursing home?
Dude, that fucking deflated me.
That really got me, too, because it was like, they look, the women in that picture, like, we're making do. That was, like, my meemaw was just like, you know what, man? Sometimes you got to knit under the water.
No, I mean, it's exactly the type of reaction. I think that I know somebody was freaking out, like, why aren't these women going nuts? And it's like, you know, there's nowhere to go. I mean, there's nowhere else to go. You're resigned to this place for now, and it's just sitting in water. I mean, I've done this before, but, I don't know what you can't call, you know, you can't just call up 911 and get a boat, rescue boat out of there.
But people always blame the people that live in these areas.
Oh, I know.
Like, why don't they evacuate?
And of course, it's a nursing home. Yeah. How are they going to get the money and travel expenses and bus together and all that? Exactly.
Car, yeah. And it's like they tell them, like, I've never had to evacuate where I live, but it seems hard as hell. Like, the thought of it seems like a lot of traffic. Number one. And it just, like, where does everybody go? Listen, guy, I don't know anybody that lives outside of Columbus. If I had to evacuate Columbus, I don't even know where the fuck I would go. I'm sure I could find somebody now and some sweet person that listens to the show. But that's what I'm trying to say. It's like a lot of people that grow up, especially especially people in, like, poor neighborhoods that have never fucking left their neighborhood. There's a lot of people that have never left within, like, I don't know, 45 minutes of their home where they grew up in, where the first place they were born. I know a lot of them. I can't imagine that they have places to go if they had to get out of here. And,
yeah,
like, people are just, I mean, there's a certain type of person. I'm probably one of these people that would ride, like, they feel like you just got to ride the damn thing out. Well, I'm just going to be here. I got to ride this damn thing out. It's just, I'm not going to leave my shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and there are so many people that, you know, aren't willing to confront the monetary aspect of it, you know, and how easy it is. Like, you know, if you have a bunch of extra rewards on your credit card to get a plane ticket out of town for the weekend to your aunt and uncle, you know, then that's a different situation than folks that, you know, are putting $3 in the tank. And you know, this is where those type of American bootstrap patriotism things come down to, like, people losing their lives. And it's like, you know, this is what you think, you know, when you don't support any sort of disaster planning, you're basically sending poor people to die.
Yeah, Republicans were just trying to cut $1 billion of disaster aid of money that had been put aside. So, I mean, and we have a president now that doesn't believe in climate change. Like, I don't know.
The people that he hired for the EPA don't believe in climate change.
Well, of course not. He's not going to hire anybody that. But who did he hire for the EPA? Was it like Dr. Drew?
Is he a climate change denier? I didn't know that.
No, but he's very a doctor.
Open sexually, but very close-minded when it comes to climate science.
He's the only scientist Donald Trump knows. Well, Dr. Drew.
This hurricane is as natural as a herpes simplex virus.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I doubt he's a climate change denier. He's lived in L.A. too long. I don't think anybody in L.A. is. But they are. They're all climate change deniers.
If you read the ancient text of Sumeria, you'll see that most climate change is caused by giant men from outer space.
He just doesn't. He has gone on tirades against climate change legislation. The guy has gone crazy about people. Like, a lot of conservatives, I see at least, will go crazy about other people deciding to conserve. It's like where you're like, well, I'm trying not. I got a Prius. And they're like, what are you, an idiot? And it's like, well, I'm just trying to help. Okay. And they're like, oh, fuck you. What? You trying to make me feel like I need to help?
Yeah. Yeah, they feel put upon.
They do. If you do it. That's like when I became a vegetarian, when I stopped eating meat, and people were just like, what? Like, I would be like, well, I decided to stop eating meat. And then people that still eat meat would always be like,
they got to explain.
Well, I'm still going to eat meat. And I'm like, well, I didn't think you were going to stop because I did.
Yeah, that's our situation. I mean, I don't know. I think the issue is really... That we have like these horribly inbred American aristocrat families that live with like multiple houses, and they make these horrible economic decisions that come out of Harvard, and they fucking ravage the rest of us, and we can't take away one fucking Lamborghini to put like a hurricane wall up in the Gulf of fucking Mexico. You know, we shouldn't dare make sure that the sixth fucking Rothschild heir or heiress goes without another pair of diamond shoes. That's all they're fighting for. You know, the type of people that we're taking the money from is not them. It's not them. It's not you. You have, just because you own a fucking jet ski, nobody's jealous. Nobody's jealous of a fucking Ski-Doo.
And you're right about that, too. It is. It's one fucking... We're talking about one, like, Lamborghini. Or, like... And they're like, well, if you take that Lamborghini away, then they're going to have to cut pay.
Right.
That's so that they can get that Lamborghini. I mean, it's a natural thing.
You're denying their freedom to get all the labor, the wages from people. You know, they'll go to Europe and do it.
Yeah. It's a natural thing. Some people... have to justify the reason that they have an Xbox and they want a hot sandwich with food stamps, and other people just get to have a Lamborghini and eat steak tartare for lunch.
They get to fail through their entire life and then eventually get a position that pays $250,000 a year.
Well, and you bringing that up, I actually was looking at Raw Story today on Facebook, and they had this story about this dude from Al Jazeera. That Ari Melber had on Ali Velshi, MSNBC host during the day, had this Al Jazeera dude on from Houston, and he's like, so I'm gonna read you this article, Brett. It's pretty funny.
He interviewed an Al Jazeera guy.
Yeah, okay. He was like, let's talk. There's an Al Jazeera guy out there in Houston. Let's talk to him about what's going on. Al Jazeera reporter Shahab Ratanzi told MSNBC host Ali Velshi on Wednesday that fossil fuel companies contribute to climate change, which negatively impacts some of the very areas that are most prized by the industry, like Texas, Louisiana, and Gulf Coast. And when you think about that, a place there, you lived in Texas, and there is a lot of oil coming out of Texas.
My direct family members are involved with getting that oil out of the ground.
Right. So if there's infrastructure costs that need to be paid, that's where it should be cut. It should be coming from the goddamn oil that's coming out of the ground. But instead, somebody bought like a house made out of diamonds so that they on the somewhere.
Well, yeah, you're right. Instead of spending any money, securing the natural landscape that they are pumping the shit out of, they have to instead give a G6 to a 25-year-old sexual assaulter.
Yeah. So here's what Ratanzi said. It's pretty clear something has gone wrong here. We're in what's called the Golden Triangle. The reason why it's called the Golden Triangle is because this is the first place in the United States that they discovered large quantities of oil, and that led to the Texas oil boom and the money flowing into this region. It's pretty clear, though, money has not been flowing into this region for the infrastructure for the climate change effects that we knew were inevitable because of the oil and gas industry's activities on this coastline, even after those oil and gas industries were covering up what they knew about climate change in the 1970s. He said it's his job to get to the point, and he said you can't make a connection between the oil and gas industry and climate change much clearer. In the past, oil and gas companies have gotten away with sort of covertly losing their toxic waste in emergencies like this. This is something we've been warned about for years by climate scientists. ProPublica had a piece last month warning something like this was about to happen in the Houston area, and there aren't the preparation for us. And yet so much money has been generated here. Seconds later, Velshi announced that MSNBC had lost contact with Ratanzi.
Motherfucker spoke from the book of truth too much on TV.
That's MSNBC. That's the libs right there. That somebody was like, whoa.
Someone's there like, but I got it. They're like mouthing that, you know, across a control room.
How many phones rang to get to Ali Velshi?
Oh, God. Giant red fucking phones. Just blinking away. Right.
Some fucking guy that drives like a Cadillac Eldorado with bullhorns on the front of it pulled his fucking iPhone out and was like, God damn it, get this Al Jazeera man off the damn TV. And then boom, it was done.
He spilled $1,000 worth of scotch onto his suit. Scrambling for his phone.
He looked like... His cigarette fell out of his mouth and he got ashes all over his white suit.
Yeah, this is, this is where, you know, this is when I feel like I was not welcome into a world of like adults that are ready to have like adult conversations about the world, because we're simply tied to this idea that making money is the only thing that can be done, and that and when you revolve around that, there's no money to be made from like thinking ahead or taking care of people like that. You know, like it's pretty much a waste. I mean, as far as like who's going to get a bonus this Christmas, like if you took the time to put that money into those things, I mean, there would be no board. No, the board wouldn't be happy with that. Sorry,
It should just be fucking done. If they're making that, if they're pulling that much money out of the ground,
right?
Then that doesn't mean anything about like that doesn't. If they're pulling that much money out of the ground, then you shouldn't have to worry about disaster preparedness. You know,
well, that should be a part of it.
Yeah, that's everybody's money. That's shit that's coming out of the ground. Isn't like some guy named like Buford Tellywinker III or whatever. I don't know who that's not his. You know what I mean? It's not
T. Boone Pickens.
Yeah, it's not T. Boone Pickens. I hate that. Yeah, that's not his. It came out of the damn ground.
You know what? 7-Eleven is only around because it was one of the original gas stations. So maybe we should get rid of 7-Eleven then if you hate oil so much.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, fine. Get rid of fucking 7-Eleven.
Oh, you're changing too much history on this show. You're like taking an eraser to everything.
I am. I'm a fucking steamroller. I just want to steamroll this country and start over again with all new shit.
Yeah, something better.
It'd be like unwrapping a present, you know? Yeah. It's like, shit, everything's flat now. Just the entire thing is flat and it's grass, and now we have to start over again.
Yeah, the north side where the boss rides, Slim Thug, is like underwater at this point. Like the land, the city of Syrup is.
Trey the Truth is floating around in a boat saving people.
I saw that. Salute to Trey the Truth for that one.
Thank you, Trey the Truth, for being out there doing things. And
I have family. I do have family there. I haven't seen anything. I think they're fine. I haven't seen any wild pictures from them at least. But the aspects of this that really frustrate me is that I don't know if we'll ever learn. Does it feel like we're ever going to learn?
No.
I mean, it feels like people are so staunchly into ignoring what's happening to these poor folks. You know, like you were, you know, yelling about on Facebook the people that are talking about looters.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Matt Chrisman had the best thing. He said, you know, there are all kinds of things we can do with technology to prevent these floods and try to stem the tide of climate change and some of this stuff, but all we're going to end up doing is inventing looter seeking missiles. I'm like, that's all these people care about. Dude, a couple years ago where I live, there was almost a tornado. Okay. And I'm walking around the neighborhood looking at what happened after almost a tornado. It was very high winds. It was a little bit scary. And somebody had already spray painted "looters will be shot on sight" on a big piece of plywood right outside of their, right at the end of their street. And I was like, Jesus fucking Christ, man. We're not even close to that.
Wow. Wow. Like, I had it in the garage. I just hadn't needed an excuse to use it.
Been waiting for a big storm so that I could take care. But it's like, as soon as one of these things happen, there's a certain type of person that is immediately looking for looters. That is what they immediately look for.
Yeah. And I actually, in one of my best skills, I can make this about myself a little bit. I worked with a guy at Abercrombie Warehouse that was in Katrina. And he said he had a gun and he gave it to his girlfriend and was like, just watch the door. If anybody comes in, you just shoot them. Like he had a knock and everything that he had to come up with. And he went to a pharmacy and got pills because he said that was the only way he could think, like if when he got out of town, he could roll into town to people he knew and like flip a whole bunch of pills to get money to stay in like a hotel and shit. Uh-huh. And he went, he said everything was like torn apart. And there was like five or six other people and it was really tense, but like nobody was getting into anybody else's shit. But like they were just trying to find the most valuable stuff they could and to get the fuck out of town. Basically, he had no other option. And it was harrowing, man. When he told me, I'm standing in the middle of like a production facility when he's telling me the story. But
That makes a lot of sense, though. I mean, people don't even think about the fact that, like, if a poor person loses their house, then I can't even pay first and last month's rent right now. I can't do anything. If I had to move right now, I don't know what fucking do.
And if I didn't, I mean, I could move right now because I have, like, a mother-in-laws and shit that could float me alone. I mean, that familial connections is a huge leg up in this world. But, for you know, there are people out there that don't have this stuff. It's like the folks when I do the Meals on Wheels stuff. Like, they don't have, there's nothing else for people, you know? You are in a fortunate situation. And that's what sucks is we see these people, the people with the most fucking privilege just really can't bear to see some sort of humanitarian act happen in front of them. They can't stand it. Like, that's so unfair. This is a cruel world and you need to make it cruel.
Yeah.
You know, these people deserve this because they weren't willing to do more than janitorial or service work.
Well, and did you see the pictures from that Best Buy where they were charging like $43 for a 12 pack of water? You're just like, what the fuck, man? No wonder I would loot if I had to. Also, that news guy. Whatever that news guy that snitched on. He's like, hey, did you see? Don't worry. We called the police. We saw some people breaking into a grocery store. So we called the police and we let them know so that they didn't get in there and get stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that. I thought that like The Walking Dead would have prepared us all more for these type of like anything goes situations, but folks are literally like They have drones floating over their house now, and they're like watching for people. They're like, now you're not going to get my board games, you know?
No. Yeah.
You're not going to resell all of my my old furs.
Yeah.
I have a fortune in furs.
My Beanie Babies.
All my Beanie Babies. No one's going to take all my collectible cards.
Somebody's up there with a double barrel shotgun pointing it at people so they don't steal their Coca-Cola memorabilia.
Right. The McDonald's toys.
My M&M NASCAR collection.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It is kind of incredible that there hasn't been as many deaths from
21.
It.
Yeah. Right before I got here today, I looked. So the other story, there's two more stories coming out of there. Yeah, really. Come on. There's two more stories coming out of there. One was old Joel Osteen.
He got raked over the coals.
He did. He deserved it, man. Fuck him. He should have had that damn place.
He's a bad carny, I think. That's what was crazy, because I would have milked it for all of the personal attention I could get. I'd be out there with my big, bright white teeth and fresh Vaseline on them and being like, oh, my Lord, I just want to save y'all. And every dollar you give to us is going to be spent on these hurricane victims. I would be raking in the money if I was his ass.
Well, yeah, but you're not him, and he is probably was like, I got to get the fuck out of here. There's going to be a hurricane.
That's true. He's sitting in like some bunker somewhere.
Yeah, he's like, I'm
getting
fucking
rubbed down with shea butter.
I got enough money right now. I'm going to go ahead and get the fuck. Yeah, I'm going to skip town. I'm going to jump on my private jet.
Hey, do I still own that helicopter? Do I still have the holy helicopter that I bought?
The fucking propellers or crucifixes.
Oh, that would be dope.
I know.
You could even just paint it that way. Like, you could just like paint it black on the ends. So from the top, it would look like a damn cross.
He was, I mean, like,
yeah,
that guy
up.
Was having.
You fucked up.
Yeah.
You
he fucked definitely up. Should have had the place open. If you're doing that church scam, dude,
yeah.
You can't, you gotta be decent to do the church scam.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. I mean, it's like it's like when insurance companies don't want to pay out. When they're like, oh, God damn it, there was a storm. Like, yeah, I paid you money to protect my house during a storm. And they're like, well, not this kind of storm. Like, it's the same excuse. It's like, I care for, like, God's sheep on earth and the flock and all that stuff. But, like, not if there's some dangerous shit going on.
I got to get out of here.
I got to be gone.
Yeah. Well, I can't do church if I'm dead.
Yeah, yeah. I need to be around and spread the gospel. I'll tell your story.
Yeah. So he said the city just hadn't asked him yet. He was like, hey, you know, you come to me, I'll let... Because this dude does church in a fucking arena. It used to be the arena that the Houston Rockets played in. That's his. He owns that.
Yeah.
Like, we think we have, like, a real... We have like a real televangelist here, but our guy's just a pissant. Rod Parsley's just a pissant compared to fucking Joel Osteen.
He's high school gymnasium compared to the Houston Rockets, man. Are you kidding me?
That's where he's at. And like,
we got to get Street Fight on that level.
I know. I want to get to the, like, when they close the Crew Stadium, they're like, do y'all want this?
Yeah.
Were you guys looking to try to have this?
Yeah, you could do like just, I mean, you could do one show a week. All day on Sunday and pay for the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So he ended up opening up the church.
Oh, good,
though.
good.
You know?
He got shamed his heart open.
After they had, like, furniture stores opened, like, a lot of furniture stores opened up, too, which I was like, that's smart as hell. That's the
Why?
Place you go. Well, I mean, they got all the motherfucking furniture that people could ever need to sit on.
Oh, you mean for people to, like, hang out in?
Yeah.
And sleep and shit.
Well, I did see the brave stories of... Oh, no.
I thought you meant someone was like, we're blowing out these chaise lounges.
Whataburger's open.
Oh, it is?
And I also saw the charming story of a woman walked trudging through the water, knee-deep water, to get to her hotel to clean rooms for $10 an hour. And it was just like, no, work is closed right now. There's work is not on. Nobody needs a clean hotel room right now. And if they do, they can do it themselves.
Yeah, I mean, we have to have some sort of break in the routine for situations like this. We're going to end, like, Donald Trump is the president. We're going to end up with more of these outlandish situations from time to time. And we can't just go about our daily business.
That actually doesn't happen, really, though, because we've had... We've had, like,
people want it to be a regular day more than anything. Even as much as they complain about it, they just want it to be the same boring day.
Yeah, we've had snow emergencies here where it was like, nah, you got to come to work. They all, we say it every year that everybody turns into an essential employee as soon as some disaster or something happened. I even had somebody tell me on Facebook that's in Houston that, or on Twitter that's in Houston, that was like, my boss is already asking me to work from home. He's like constantly texting me to work from home.
We're losing money. This hurricane is hitting us in the pocketbook.
Yeah, no shit. This hurricane's like a bunch of eclipses, probably.
This is bullshit. This has turned my life upside down. It's a weather event.
Yeah, you can't stop those from happening. Shit has got to close. We started this show by talking about trying to keep our Columbus Day off, because that's what they're going to do. That is a government solution if I've ever heard it. Fine. People are offended with Columbus Day? No day off. It's not a special day anymore. Everybody has to go to work now. That's like a Democrat centrist solution. Fine then, it's not a day.
More productivity.
Yeah. So, I also wanted to bring up just because somebody posted this story from 2014, and it's something that, like, I never really quite understood, but it was a story about the Red Cross. And it was a story about the Red Cross and not donating to them. Because a lot of the money goes into public relations and things like that. So after Hurricane Sandy, they diverted a lot of the money that people were donating by just being like, "Hey, yo, Red Cross, here's $10. You can donate $10 to Red." And they,
well, that money goes to the general fund. That money doesn't just go, like, they don't. Pin those funds and say these are going to be used for disaster relief. They just consider those all the same general donation.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I'm saying that, like, so this 2014 article has some documents that said they used very little of the money to deal with the superstorm, and a lot of it went to other things. So if you're able to donate to something that's not the Red Cross, your money is probably going to go somewhere.
Yeah, the Houston DSA was collecting money, and they asked me to share their thing, and I don't have it right now, but I know I will in a matter of moments.
Son of a bitch.
But they were trying to put stuff. They're good with money, and that organization, once again, seems to have the means to get things done. I mean, like that, without, like, collecting money to do it, you know? I just read that article in Vice about the
New Orleans changing light bulbs.
Yes, light yes. Bulbs. Brake lights. Brake lights in the back of cars.
HoustonDSA.org/donate is the thing. They're raising money to buy food, water, and other supplies to help those affected by Harvey, and they need your help. So it's HoustonDSA.org/donate.
And I mean,
To volunteer, it's HoustonDSA.org/Harvey Help. That's either to volunteer, or if you're in Houston and you need to request aid, the DSA would be happy to help you. So they're pretty good people, man, from what I've found out.
Yeah, and if you spend a lot of time dicking around on the internet anyways, you can find somewhere to put your money. But the Red Cross is, I mean, not a good idea.
That's probably not the place to do it. I know. I'd always, like, every time I kind of tried to not really go after them, because it feels weird going after the Red Cross. It's the same thing with Susan G. Komen, right? Like, when you're like, ah, fuck, I feel really weird going after somebody that's fighting against breast cancer. But then again, it's like, man, if they're taking advantage of people in these situations, then maybe we should focus our sights on something like the Red Cross.
Yeah, and there is, I mean, once again, there's just organizations that are ran to make a profit. You know, even if they're a nonprofit, the people involved with it are definitely fucking profiting. And the people at the top, you know, are drawing some outrageous salaries. And it's just not the type of organizational structure. It's not for our new world without the Buckeyes and without Columbus and without like all the stuff you want to get rid of. I think those organizations have to be left in the dust.
Right. Yeah. So the mainstream press and a lot of the libs turned on Antifa this week.
It was a big deal.
They turned on us.
I know. Fucking too much.
Time for a heel turn.
Too much.
Or I guess we're the heels. We don't really do the heel turns, though. They do the heel turns on us. No, they get to pick.
Yeah. No, they're the audience.
And then they become the baby face all of a sudden, where they're just like, oh, I think it's wrong to punch people.
Yeah. I've got to tell you, as somebody in the middle of a lot of this stuff, is that folks get too much into themselves and into the idea that like their thoughts about this stuff really matter. And that's really, to be blunt and say, like, history is being made and these things are happening, and the folks that are out there are doing it, and you're just on the sidelines. So it doesn't really matter what your opinion is, you know, if you're not out there.
Yeah. Come out and stop us.
Right.
From stopping Nazis. I mean, it's not even like they have this, like, so in Berkeley, as soon as we finished recording with people in the Bay Area, Berkeley announced that they were going to make Antifa a gang.
We
talked to Juggalos, who are also considered a gang in the Bay Area, about Berkeley considering them a gang. So, it seems like they're coming after us, which I also find strange, because it doesn't sound like they're going after these white nationalists. You know what I mean? That's not anything that they don't see that as they see that as an equal kind of violence. But the state isn't trying to squash that dissent. The state protects that sort of dissent, where with us, they're like, nah, fuck you. We got to nip this right in the bud.
No, that's exactly right. And I don't understand why white supremacists aren't treated unfairly in this society. Like, they seem to get every protection in the world, and they aren't persecuted in any way like that they should be.
They
like,
don't. They get to gather, and then the police stand in front of them and face the other side. Did you see that picture of that guy in that fucking MAGA hat with riot cops all the way around him? It was one guy with riot cops completely just around him protecting him. And it's like, who are you fucking protecting? What society are you fucking protecting? You know, you're protecting this one guy. And look, I've come in contact with these dudes online. If a tweet goes viral or anything like that, and then they come into your, and they're acting like they're the reasonable ones, like they don't want to do violence, but that's not true. They will talk about gassing people, and they'll talk about how the police are going to shoot and kill you because the police are on their side. And I don't know what the difference between that kind of shit and what we say, that we want to punch you and beat you up, is. They're the same fucking thing, you know, not the same thing. I'm not saying the same thing, but like, if that's two kinds of violence, you know what I mean? Like, if you're saying that what we're doing is violence, then what they're doing is violence. Like, they incite the violence, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. I am not making an equivalence to Nazi violence, and believe me, I'm on their side. I'm on the right side here.
What it comes down to is that they have points of views that result in hate crimes, that result in a lot of really awful shit. Like you said, their opinion is there should be a lesser classes of people, and they call them immigrants, or they call them Muslims, or they call them Black Lives Matter. But whoever it is, they feel like there should be an underclass of folks that they get to rule over. And, in that, like, they shouldn't have to apologize for their culture crushing everything else. And then we are the people that say, no, please, can we just be fucking feminists or LGBTQ or POC or whatever it is? Like, this is a reaction to people that are actually doing the oppressing. You know, these are the folks that are, you know, these are the folks that are causing trouble. That's what it's like. So infuriating to do this show every fucking week when these people just think that they're being victimized just because someone wants to live a different life, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that there's goofy ass weirdo leftist people out there, but you know,
Tumblr,
what?
They see it on Tumblr.
Tumblr, right.
Tumblr is exactly what
Tumblr doesn't keep me up at night. It shouldn't keep anyone up at night.
I know.
It's like I can read an article about how white people are the worst people on the planet, and I can take it in and then go and do and talk with folks and not have any issues. You know, like I don't have to feel guilty about it. And if someone points out a way to be a fucked up racist, I can try not to do that. You know, it really isn't a hindrance to my lifestyle.
Well, most of what that snowflake safe space and Buttercup Ranch, which is that's the top of offensive conservative pages. They share a lot of stuff from like Tumblr, where like I just saw earlier today, they shared some woman from like Finland that's collecting all of her used condoms and tacking them to the wall in her bedroom with pictures of her boyfriend. And I'm like, guys, I agree. That's fucking weird, but it's not like a new trend or anything.
Yeah. We're not going to make you do that.
No,
we're not out here for that.
But that's what they're worth. That's and the even kind like, of things that they spend all day. That Tumblr shit.
Yeah, and they think that's who Antifa is.
They do. They really do also think that's who Antifa is.
And Antifa is like, you know, a lot of those folks are maybe milder democratic socialist type people. And some of them are full blown SJWs. But I have never been invited to go beat up like Republican Party people. At the RNC, there was no Antifa that was going there to beat the shit out of people that believed in Republican candidates. You know, these folks are reacting to the ugliest of opinions. And if you're a coward like Tina Fey or any of the other media class or millionaire yuppie folks that don't have to deal with this stuff, like, it's easy to say we're not going to stand up to this, but like to all the coward ass generations before us, I'm just done with it. Like they were dumb enough to raise me with the idea that I could stand up and believe and be whoever I wanted to be. And that's somebody that's going to tell Nazis to go fuck themselves and maybe get in a fight with them if I have to.
And you just, I don't think it's a bad thing that like, I'm ride or die for Antifa at this point. Like, if these people are gathering and you show up and you punch one of them in the face, then fuck it. Okay, fine. You know, it would be nice if we could have some marches without fighting. But if they, you know, if they're being violent, I mean, we have the story right here, right? About Base Stick Man. That fucking guy was showing up to places with a stick and he was swinging them and fucking hitting people with them.
Well, there
you can't fucking do that. You can't do that and expect not to get punched in the fucking face.
Yeah, and they even uncovered that guy in Berkeley that was like on the ground that they were beating the shit out of him. Like he had been trolling for like weeks online beforehand, talking about all the shit he was going to start while he was there. And you know, I mean, you go and I think that any conservative listener, if you've made it this far into the show and maybe you're checking us out, you could probably agree that if you go into the middle of a fucking group of people that hate you and you start spouting off at the mouth, you're probably not going to leave conscious.
Yeah. No. Hey, you know, don't get to say things and then walk out into public and then people are like, oh, I'm not going to. Hey, that was jolly good to you, sir. That was a good volley we had on the internet.
I respect your right to say genocide Jewish people.
Yeah. I don't respect it at all. Fuck you. I'm going to punch your head in. I don't even go looking for trouble either.
No.
I don't go to these things. I don't even take a mask, though. That might be an issue. But, like, I think that, like, these guys are starting fucking trouble. These dudes go online and they're riling people up and they're starting trouble. And then they go stand in public and they call it a prayer meeting. But the prayer is like for like Jews to die or something like that. Or for like segregation. Something that none of us fucking want.
For the white race to be finally brought back into like the kind of good light that we used to have before Barack Obama was the president.
The good light. So what I'm saying is,
good Christian light.
Go piss up a rope, Nancy Pelosi. She's the one that came out. And then also they had one in the Washington Post that said, which, by the way, what has led to more violence? The Washington Post or Antifa? What has led these newspapers...
And you know, these are the folks that killed those Sikhs in Wisconsin. These are the white supremacists that did this. This is who Antifa is against.
Yeah.
These are the guys that do hate crimes and shit. These
drove
are the,
a fucking car into a person in Charlottesville, fucking shot somebody in Seattle, cut a guy's fucking head almost off in Portland.
Two Indian fucking programmers in a Texas bar got murdered because of some fucking white dude that felt like he was superior to them.
Yes. Yeah.
And Antifa has not... They
killed anybody.
They're not stringing up Republicans in the streets or anything. There's no bodies on there.
They haven't killed anybody, and people want to be considered a gang. Buddy, if you can't go outside and fucking scream your racist beliefs and take a punch to the face, then maybe you need to stay in the house.
Yeah, keep that cowardly shit inside.
No.
Go hang out with your incontinent dog.
I don't know what this idea is that you're allowed to fucking go outside and yell racist things without anybody hitting you. I thought that was part of living in a society, was like, hey, if you say something that a lot of people don't like, they're going to fucking hit you. We're not killing anybody. Why do they think they're being
pro spanking people too?
I know.
You need your mouth slapped if you say Jews will not replace us.
I know.
Ass beat.
These people can't take a punch or a kick. Jesus fucking Christ, man. What do your beliefs even mean? I'm willing to get beat up by the police for what I mean. I go out and I risk myself getting beat up by the police for my beliefs. I don't think that I should be protected because I'm fucking out there yelling things that are probably inflammatory or burning a flag or whatever the fuck I'm out there doing. In my dream world, I'm burning a flag. That's what I want to do. I want to get to the point where flags are being burnt at the protests, but I know we're years off from that still.
Yeah, the world hasn't.
You never know, though. Things have accelerated pretty fast since we started Street Fight. That it, like, we might be getting, like,
it's happening. I mean, there's plenty of it on YouTube.
Yeah, people do. Like, I just want to light this cigarette off a flag. It feels so good. It's like one of those. It's a weird feeling when you burn your first American flag because you're just like, you light it on fire. You're like, oh, I'm not supposed to do this. This is wrong.
It's like saying fuck you to God.
It's like when you smoke a joint with a Bible page. That's exactly what it is. The first time I did that, I was like, this is wrong. I think I'm going to. This is daring, and then this you burn your first flag. I'll tell the story. I was sitting on my front porch on Memorial Day one year, and I just was so fucking, I was on Twitter very early in my time on Twitter and was just so fucking tired of it. You know what I mean? So fucking tired of the, like, it's right after my radicalization, and it was just too much patriotism for me. And I just went out on my front porch and I sat down, had this little flag that I got and a lighter, and I was smoking a blunt on Memorial Day, and I lit the flag on fire with my lighter. I just sat there and watched it burn, and I was like, this feels good. It feels wrong, but it feels real good.
Yeah, it's a hard sell. That's a hard sell. We have to figure out a way to let them have their American garb. They just need, like, American t-shirts, right?
I see that stuff as, like, the Nazi shit. We just got to get rid of it. You know what I mean? Like, all that stuff is basically Nazi shit now. All that shit, like, the American flag to me is, like, a symbol of mass incarceration now. Like, when I see it, I'm like, that's some mass incarceration racist shit right. That's there is true. What that flag is. It's all dead to me.
I have to say, I've been recently getting into the CBD products, and for some reason, my brain is so fucking negative. After I did it, within about 5 minutes, I was like, you know what? I had no idea this chemical even existed in this plant, and we have had people thrown in jail and entire, like, families ripped apart over this for decades now, you know? Like the enforcement of the drug prohibition thing is in like mass incarceration is just astonishingly horrible. Like, there's just no excuse for what we've done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's Nazi shit. It's the same thing as the goddamn, I mean, if you don't think that that American flag symbolizes the same kind of nationalism and ugliness as any of those other flags that you're like, whoa, you don't wave those fucking flags. The American flag is those fucking flags. I, like, I'm perfectly willing to say having the largest prison population in the fucking world is not something that, like, I want to wave a flag for. And that's what the symbol of it is that, like, we throw black people in cages and we kill people, and that flag gets waved on top of things while we just fucking turn people into hamburger in the Middle East and stuff like that. And it's just, fuck it. We got to get rid of it. Sorry, man. That's why we got to get to the flag burning part of the revolution, because that's got to happen. And then we got to get a fucking new Betsy Ross, some kind of new, like, maybe we could have Banksy Ross.
I know. No, it's gotta be a POC.
Banksy. You don't know what Banksy
That's
is.
That's true. Banksy Ross could be a new turn. Okay.
I mean, yeah, it could be. Yeah. So that's where I'm at. We're still into ending America. That's, this show started wanting to end America, and we still want to end America.
I know. I think I'm just trying. I'm just trying to figure out what we can do to get the mammals and the papaws on board.
I tell them they don't get to see their grandkids no more unless they get on board. That's what we do. Like, it's not impossible.
You have to make all the buses free in town, or else you don't get no more pictures texted.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you want to have a sleepover? No. You don't get to have one. I'll keep her and send her to my POC babysitter that I have.
I'm just worried. I'm like, I think that because, like, there's a part of me, like, I spend somehow my Facebook, I've started liking every absurd page I can.
Me too.
And
me
I'm
too.
Getting better. I had too many, like, I got too many, like, people in the know, like, too many cool people. But now it's, like, really, it's back to being shit again.
Yeah, mine too.
And I'm just trying to, like the I can imagine if those folk, some of the folks on, like, the Buttermilk
Snowflake
Ranch,
Slave Safe Place and Butter's
if they
Ranch.
Were to hear this kind of stuff is infuriating.
I know. It's great. But it's not their world anymore. It's ours.
I know.
You know, I'm a 38-year-old man. This is my world. I was promised this fucking world, and it's mine now. And this is what I want to do with it.
Future.
Yeah. This is what I want to do with it. I want to get rid of America completely.
And make it better for everybody. Yeah. Every little itty-bitty baby that's been born here.
Exactly. Not born here.
That's
I want
true.
To just
all
open
the
it all up and everybody
if
in the
If you
world.
Was a baby, then things will get better for you. Well, unless you're a rich-ass baby.
Yeah. And then if the next people take the world and they fuck it up, then fuck it.
Yeah, that's
I tried.
On that. That's
I did it
them.
When I was here. I'm in charge, and this is what I want to do now. I have some plans. I'll pull out a blueprint. I have some plans here, and I have some ideas that I want to do, and that's just what we're going to do now.
But that's the thing about lazy-ass patriots, man, is that they don't get off their ass and shit. They live on other people's laurels. Like, oh, I was born here on the greatest country in America, and now I just got to read the books and obsess about it, you know, and you didn't do nothing. You didn't make history. You know, you lived off somebody else's fucking coattails. Like, we're about to make history. That's what we're trying to do around here.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do. We're fucking taking history over. History's gonna be ours now. We're just gonna take it away from you. And then you know what
we'll
I'm gonna do?
Ice
you know
cream,
what else I'm gonna do? I'm gonna snuggles. Put them all in a room, and I'm gonna tell them Ben Franklin was a war criminal. I don't even think he was, but it would infuriate. It would, that kind of stuff just makes them so fucking mad. Thomas Jefferson had slaves. He was a disgusting rapist. And they're like, whoa. Because you know why? You want to know why? Because they talk about Che Guevara like that. They call, he fucking killed a bunch of people. I'm like, what the fuck do you think George Washington did to get where he was?
Yeah.
Like, you love George Washington. He made some questionable decisions, like having slaves.
Yeah, yeah. Che Guevara might have been racist, but so were all of the guys that you think were fantastic.
Yeah, all the guys you may thought were fantastic were also very, very bad. All right, man. Well, we'll see you on... I think it's Monday maybe this week for the call-in show. Labor Day. We
Labor
might
Day.
Do it Labor Day because we have friends. Sunday's and we want to hang out with them on Sunday.
Yeah, working people get to party on Sunday night, which they don't normally get to do because of Labor Day on Monday. So we're going to be partying Sunday night. I think we're going to do the show Monday night, late night, 10 or 11. WCRSFM.org. You'll hear it. We'll also put it out on all of the social media channels. Find us on Facebook. Find us on Twitter. Find us on Snapchat. Find us on Instagram. We're at Street Fight WCRS. StreetFightWCRS. You can also hear us live on the air in Columbus, Ohio. 92.7. Sundays at 10 p.m. We're right there. Or we'll be doing the live show and maybe you call in. We are also gearing up for a show this month in Baltimore, Maryland. It's a completely free show, so just show up, be there. It's Auto Bar, and it's September 17th. That's a Sunday night. We're going to go to the Juggalo March on Saturday in D.C. So, D.C., if you're with me, come hang out. We will be there all day long with a couple of cool fellas, maybe Yui Bullocks and Nick Hayes, our favorite video. He's a specialist. He's a video specialist.
We're just going to have a lot of people. We're bringing a fucking crew with us this time.
Come hang with the gang in Washington, D.C. We will be there. And if you want to get in on what we do, we have a zine that comes out every single month. You probably missed a bunch of ones you would have wanted to read, but I promise if you sign up, you will never be disappointed with what you receive. This month we had the work zine. I just got it in today. It looks fucking amazing. We have some fake resumes, and we also have an essay from Brian about his early work years. Next month is going to be fiction. I don't know if this is going to come out before you can sign up with it, but we're going to have a bunch of fiction stories for this month and more planned in the future. You can help support the show by going to patreon.com, patreon.com/streetfightradio. Sign up to get access to audio, video, zines, Kratom, and even more. So thank you for being here and supporting what we do. Atlanta, you rule. We had a blast there, and we can't wait to come back. We are Street Fight. Peace.